I invite you to turn back to Matthew chapter 27, please. With God's word open before us, let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. Needeth help as we come to the preaching of His precious word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for great truths of the hymn we've just been singing. We thank the Lord that this can be a happy night. A happy night. And Jesus washed and could wash a black heart white. We pray, Lord, that that might be the portion and experience of some loved one in our meeting. Oh God, they'll go home rejoicing over what the Lord has done. Go home rejoicing over their sins forgiven. Be able to say it as well. It is well with my soul. Recognize, Lord, that there is a great solemnity as we come to the preaching of the gospel. Lord, we pray for judgment day on this day. We pray, O God, that Thou wouldst close us in with Thee. I might shut it, Lord, every distracting thought. Bind the devil. Spoil his plans tonight. We pray, Lord, that men and women would recognize that the preacher stands between those who are living and those who are dead. Oh God, that they have a choice to make. Oh God, we pray that Thou would bring that choice before their very gaze and before their very heart. And that those tonight will be wise and choose Christ. To that end we pray for the moving of Thy Spirit. Lord, we recognize the Spirit of God must come and do the work. We pray, Lord, to that end that Thou wouldst fill me with Thy Spirit and with power. And may words from Thyself that must and shall prevail. Give us those prevailing words. May Christ be exalted this evening. We pray in His precious name. There are very few passages that are found to be in each of the four gospel accounts. Not even the incarnation of the Savior is found among that number. But one thing that is spoken of in each of them is the death and is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. While there are varying degrees and accounts given to that time in the Garden of Gethsemane, or to the happenings of what took place in Pilate's hall, that which is spoken of by the four evangelists is what happened to a man by the name of Barabbas. At the feast of the Passover, which the Jews held to commemorate their deliverance from the land of Egypt, it had become a custom for the Roman authorities to release unto them a prisoner at that time. This was not something that was decreed by the divine law, but rather merely it was something that was man-made. And that which is often the case with the laws that man make, it was not a good one. It was an obstruction to justice. It was an encouragement to wickedness. But nevertheless, it had come about, it was a custom that one prisoner should be released. Judge who presided over who would be released and who would be crucified was, of course, Pilate. And so he puts the question to the crowd, as we find it in verse 17. Whom would ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? In Pilate's mind, of course, there was no competition. The motivation of the people against Christ was envy, and there was no grounds for putting a man to death. And Pilate himself had begun to see that before him stood a just man. He repeatedly said to the crowd, I find no fault in him at all. His wife also was to send a message to him to have nothing to do with that just man. And so from many witnesses, and not least his very own heart, Pilate believed Christ to be innocent, but the same could not be said of the other nominee. What Pilate failed to do was have the courage to acquit Christ on the grounds of the charges that were laid against him. But instead he put the choice to the people, whereby we are brought to the words of my text this evening in verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Barabbas lives. Christ is crucified. I wonder, dear loved one, in our meeting tonight, as that stark choice is brought before you this evening in the gospel, what will be your decision? For a decision you will make ere you leave this house of God. And that decision for you is also a matter of life and of death. Barabbas or Christ? Let me first of all draw your thought to the description of Barabbas. This man is almost as well known as Pilate is. Indeed, wherever the trial and judgment of the Savior is to be spoken of, it invariably has to include this man. But what do we know about him as he is described for us in God's Word? What can we learn about ourselves as we look at this man? I want you to see that there is his practice described. In the words of verse 16, there's a word that is spoken of him, and it is the word notable. And a person is notable either for good or for evil. And where Barabbas was concerned, it was the latter. And that being the case, it may have been Pilate's thinking that the people would desire to have anyone released other than this man. That's how bad he was. That's how uneven was the contest. For of his practice we are given to see in each of the accounts of the gospel writers the crimes that he'd been guilty of. For example, we read in John 18 that he was a thief and he was a robber. He had been taken in the crime of robbery. He had been declared guilty before the law. But his practice doesn't stop there. For we also are told in the words of Mark chapter 15 and verse 7 that he was a murderer. Listen to those words. And there was one named Barabbas which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. He had taken life. He was charged as a murderer before the law. And how great a contrast, of course, that stands when we consider the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the very giver of life. He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This man took life. He was a murderer. And in that verse, we also further see his practice was one of being a rebel. You see, he was guilty of insurrection. In other words, of causing or leading a revolt against the authorities. He was part of an uprising against the rule of law. And bring all those things together, men and women, young people. And what we have described is an evil and as a wicked individual. We have one who is declared as guilty. Guilty before men and guilty before God. One who deserved nothing but the full rigors of the law against him. But dear soul, tonight, what you see in this man, I put it to you, is a description of the sinner himself. For without Christ in this world, you are one who is a thief and a robber. You have robbed God of his glory. It may be that you have robbed God of his day. You have desecrated the Sabbath. It certainly is the case that you have robbed God of his honor and you have robbed God of his worship that is his due. And what's more, you are a robber to the extent that you cannot pay back the debt that your sin has caused. You're a robber. But you know it gets blacker than that. For you are also one who is a rebel to God. Each one of us were born in nature's darkness with our back toward God and in rebellion to his precious word and to his law. Your whole heart and will is against God. It's toward the things that this world has to offer and it's toward sin itself. And yes, although you may not realize it, you are also a murderer in God's sight. And you might say, preacher, I've never taken the life of any man. But in your heart, have you not committed this vile sin? For the Savior says that the man who is hated in his heart without cause is in danger of the same judgment of the murderer. 1 John 3 and verse 15 says this: whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You look at this man, Barabbas, and you see the practice of the sinner in this world without Christ. He is a robber. He is a rebel. He is one who is a murderer. You know, he's also spoken here as a prisoner. It might be to state the obvious, but he was one who was blind. He was a prisoner because of his crimes and because of his practice. He was not free to do whatever he liked, but rather he was restrained, and indeed he was condemned to die. And in Mark's account, we are given the detail that he was among others who remain unnamed and who were also guilty of being rebels. And there he was bound, and a prisoner, and a notable one at that. And I often wonder, as Barabbas was in that dungeon, where he would have been kept, could he have heard the cries of the crowd above, as they demanded of Pilate to do what was his custom, and to release unto them a prisoner? This much is sure. He was a prisoner who deserved to die. He deserved to be brought to that hillside outside the city walls of Jerusalem. He deserved to take his place among the transgressors. He deserved to be punished for the ills that he had done. And dear loved one, without Christ tonight and God's salvation, so do you. And so do I. That is also a true description of everyone born of Adam's race. You're prisoners in the prison house of sin. And lo, the sinner has a resemblance of a freedom, yet in truth they're held, and in truth they're bound by many a snare of the devil. The words of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3 will suffice to prove the case. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, our behavior, if you like, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Those verses do not describe to me liberty. Those verses do not describe to me freedom. In fact, it is the very opposite. You cannot do what you like. You are merely led about by the old deceiver and are engaged in fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and of the mind. And the old deceiver, the devil himself, his desire is to keep you bound. And his desire, sinner, is to bind you and to blind you from the glorious gospel of Christ until one day you fall into the pit. And you are there without any hope of escape. And you're there for all eternity. And I tell you, that is what every one of us deserve because of our sin. Because of our sin before a thrice holy God and the one who is our Creator. That's what we deserve. And should every one of Adam's fallen race be condemned to a lost eternity, God would still be just. For that is what his law demands. We deserve hell. It's the mercy of God that some of us tonight are never going to be there. What about you? What about you? You're still a prisoner. A prisoner to the old chains that the devil has bound you with. Just like you know, there's one other thought about this man's description here. That is his parentage. Might be that you cannot see his parentage. Don't think that is strange, because it is not to be found in any one of the gospel accounts. What we do have is his name. And that's all that we need is enough to work out his parentage. His name is Barabbas. It's made up of two Greek words, Bar, the son of, Abbas, the father. And of course we know the word Abbas, but the child of God can cry, Abba, Father. It's the same word. There's irony in his name. For Barabbas, the one who is introduced to us in this passage, his name means the son of the Father. Who his father was, we're not told. But then we look at the description that we have been given, and we're drawn to consider those words of Christ in John 8. And we see his father. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, the father of it. We see his parentage. His father was the devil. So are you, unsaved loved one. You have a character of your father, the devil, tonight. And the lusts of your father he will do. The description of Barabbas, you see, is a description of everyone out of Christ. It's just exactly the same. You're not saved. Let me show you, however, the deliverance of Barabbas. Having seen something of the sort of man that this man was, it might seem very surprising that we should then be drawn to consider his deliverance. But that is what our text instructs us on. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And indeed, that is the greatest mystery. He was a guilty rebel in the sight of the law. He was imprisoned. He was condemned to die. The next verses ought to have instructed us that his prison door was swung open only to be led away to be crucified. But they don't. Instead, there is his deliverance. And I believe we ought and we must look at how this man was delivered. And it first of all meant a substitute. If Barabbas was to be released, then one had to take his place. And that one, as our text reveals, was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Instead of Barabbas being walked to the hill of Golgotha to receive his just deserts, the hands of evil inspired men were to take the Christ of God. Pilate, impotent and cowardly to declare his release, was to content the crowd by complying to what they desired, and that was the release of this man Barabbas. And so the very Savior of this world, the Son of God, listen to me, the true Son of the Father. That's the irony. A man whose name meant Son of the Father, the true Son of the Father, was to be taken. And he was to be brought to the hill of Calvary. He was to be taken instead of Barabbas to be crucified. He was to go to the cross of Calvary. And as he would lay down his life there. If there was one and only one who realized that he had one who died in his place, then it would be this man Barabbas. He should have been on that Roman gibbet. He should have suffered and died that day. But instead, there was a substitute. And my dear soul, that is the truth And that is the crux of the gospel message to your soul. There is one who died in the sinner's place. There is one who had to take the sinner's place if they were ever to live. And that one was Christ, the sinless one, where there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. John 10 and 11 says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In the place of the sheep, instead of the sheep. And just as Isaac was to experience the substitutionary lamb, so Barabbas was to experience God's lamb dying instead of him. My friend, if you are to be saved from eternal death, then you too must have a substitute, for God must yet punish sin and thereby still be just, and the justifier of them that believeth in Jesus. Mercy was not experienced by Barabbas at the expense of the law. Wasn't the case of setting aside the law and showing mercy to this man? For Christ was yet to go to the cross. There he fulfilled the law of God which cried against the sinner, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Tell me tonight, before I go any further, is Christ your substitute? Do you know from experience he stood into your stead, into your place, dying for your sin? But you'll see also that his deliverance meant that he was set free. It meant that he was delivered from that dungeon and he was a free man. Barabbas from that moment was a pardoned man. He was to go free as one acquitted of all charges laid against him. And we know what he was guilty of. We've already considered that. The record books, however, were quite clear as the cries rang out, not this man, but Barabbas to be released. Dear loved one, there is good news for the sinner tonight. For because Christ, the sinless and guiltless one, died according to the Scriptures and was buried, rose again according to the Scriptures, you can be set gloriously free tonight from the bondage of your sin. You can be set free from the chains that the devil has bound you with. For God is satisfied with a once for all sacrifice for sin that his Son offered on yonder tree. There's no more that needs to be done. And if by the gift of faith you embrace the Lord Jesus as your Savior and as your substitute, and if by faith tonight you depend on Him and Him alone for your salvation and for your deliverance, then you too will be declared justified before a holy God, and you too will be know what it is to be set gloriously free. This man was set free because he had a substitute. And you know, there's another thought about his deliverance, and it was the sovereign plan of God. Barabbas didn't know it, but Christ had come to this earth to one day go the way of the cross. It was ever in the mind of God that one day his Son would die on Calvary's tree, for he came that he might give his life for ransom for the many. And although the hands of evil and wicked men thought they were doing their worst, when they called for his death, and then they took him, and when they drove in those nails into his hands and his feet, let me tell you, they were but instruments in God's almighty hand. They were carrying out his sovereign plan, the very truth that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Listen to Acts 2 and verse 23, spoke of Christ, he says, Him. Being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, that brings you to eternity past. When it was decreed amongst the Godhead that one day Christ should come and should go to the cross. And Peter reminds them, the crowd in Jerusalem at this day of Pentecost, he was delivered By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It was the sovereign plan of God. And my friend, if you are to be saved, it is to Christ that you must look by faith, and it will be by the sovereign plan of God, for he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. I trust you realize that. But for the mercy of God, and you're damned in a lost eternity. You see, I read Romans 9, in the words of verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's why, sinner, it is imperative that if God's Spirit is striving with you and convicting you of your sin and of your undone state before God and showing you the need of the Savior, that you don't harden your heart, that you don't say no to Christ, but that you do come now. For of yourself you cannot be saved. You cannot come of yourself. It's God that will have and must have mercy. Thereby we would leave those words of the hymn writer. Sinner, do not no longer roam, lest you seal your hopeless doom. Be in time. Some of you are playing about with the mercy of God, striving with you. Remember that wee word in Genesis way back there. God said, my Spirit will not always strive with man. Barabbas knew deliverance because he had a substitute. He was set free. It was the sovereign plan of God that Christ should go to the cross. And there's one other thought that I want to bring to you, and that is the decision of the crowd this day. You see, that which had a bearing on Barabbas was the crowd before Pilate. The question was put to them, whom would ye that I release unto you? Their answer, verse 21, Barabbas. Their decision was callous. For by calling for the release of Barabbas, and they knew the sort of character that he was a notable prisoner. They were at the same token rejecting Jesus of Nazareth and the Christ of God. Their hearts were hardened against the Lord Jesus, even though he had done the wrong, even though there was nothing amiss that could be found in him by Pilate. They had no just reason why he should be rejected. They had no reason why they should decide for Barabbas. And yet, dear sinner, it is also the same decision that faces you tonight. You have heard what the Christ of God has accomplished. You have heard the preaching of the gospel. You have heard of the message of the only Savior of a lost mankind. And there is every reason why you should submit to the pleadings of God, the Holy Spirit, and why you should come in repentance of faith, even as a sinner to Jesus. There's every reason. But yet, could it be that your heart has been hardened to the gospel, and this message, preacher, is not for me, it is for somebody else? I will not have this man to rule over me. And I wonder, could it be said of you in relation to the Savior, as was true of that crowd, they hated me without a cause. God, who is merciful to you, who gives you the very breath in your body, who causes you to be able to get up in the morning. In him we live, we move, and have our being. And yet there's a heart tonight, and you're saying, no, I will not have this man. Hit him without a cause. What a callous decision. Their decision was by choice. They called for Barabbas to be released, the murderer, the rebel, the robber. And Peter reminded them in no uncertain terms of that very thing in Acts 3 and verse 14, following the healing of the lame man. He said, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. As for the only Savior and Redeemer, their choice was they should be crucified. Dear sinner, the same decision you will make every time. You do not want the Christ of God. That heart of yours will choose Barabbas and everything that he represents in this world. That heart of yours is bent on committing more sin and going the way of the world. You know why? Because it cannot do anything else. Because that heart of yours is desperately wicked. And I remind you that a decision you will have to make again in the hearing of the gospel message tonight. I wonder what will it be for you this evening, Barabbas or Christ? Darkness or light? Hell or heaven? Life or death? For that's what it comes down to. And while this preacher has responsibility to preach the word, you, dear loved one, have a responsibility in how you hear the gospel, and you have a responsibility in what you will do with Jesus, which is called Christ. A choice you have to make. What will it be? I pray that you will decide for Christ. For let me show you finally that your decision has consequences. It did for this crowd. If you draw your eye up to verse 25 and you'll see it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. His blood be in us. The blood of this just person, this innocent man, be in us. And on our children, the innocent blood of Christ would be on them and on their offspring. Dear people, within a matter of years, there was the great overthrow of the city of Jerusalem. That which the Savior warned about and wept over that city for. Their decision in rejecting Christ for Barabbas was to seal their doom. The consequences were that many of that next generation were to perish. Their decision called upon them the wrath of God. I wonder what will be the consequences of your decision tonight for your own soul. Your own soul, I remind you, which already abides under the wrath of God, and which is already condemned. Aye, but what about the consequences? Your own flesh and blood. Father, are you going to show the way to hell to your children you brought into this world? Is that what you're doing? Are they following in your footsteps? Mother, you bore your children? Are you leading them to hell? What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? How much better for all. You will decide tonight, it's Christ for me. Come, repentance and faith. May God help you to come. If you cannot come of yourself, you cannot decide for yourself. May God bring you tonight by the cords of love. May the Lord bless His word to each of our hearts. For His own name's sake. Amen. We'll sing 233, please, in closing. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? We're going to sing just verses 3 and 5. Verses 3 and 5, let's stand. We sing it prayerfully. 233. Thank you. proclamation of the gospel. We thank the Lord there is one who has died in our place, for a guilty sinner just like us, just like Barabbas. O God, we pray in the closing seconds of this minute, Thou would give that deciding grace tonight for a sinner to say, it's Christ for me. Lord, give, we pray, that grace for them to come by faith to embrace the Lord as their Savior, as their King. O God, we pray that Thou would answer prayer. Lord, a soul would go home tonight rejoicing. They'll never be in the caverns of the damned, but they're heading home to heaven soon. Speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Part us with Thy fear and Thy favor. Give journey mercies home. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious and worthy name.